Let us explore the Bible together on Glorious Morning Study Hour on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
Yes, indeed, we are coming through to you live from the studios here in Centurion, Irene, at the SID Media House, where we have one mandate, one job, to proclaim hope. Yes, hope starts right here, and we are here to ensure that you are drawn closer to Christ, right? And in doing that, part of the responsibility we possess is to ensure that you are better acquainted with the Word of God. And so we have this segment, which is called the Scripture Spotlight, and in it, we're having our VOP lesson. And the topic for today that we've been running this week, your questions can be answered. Now, someone once said, when confronted with the truth, an honestly mistaken man will either cease to be mistaken as he accepts the truth, right, and walks in it, or he will cease to be honest as he hears the truth, rejects it, and chooses to continue in his error. Now, having answered questions regarding the Sabbath, we're going to be hearing today, which one of the two will you be? Will you be honest, or will you continue to be mistaken? I don't think you'll still be mistaken, right? You're not just being a dishonest person. Let's have a conversation, Brother Lwazi Mesacha joins us on the line to help us make sense of the questions we've been having regarding the topic of the week. Sir, good morning to you and welcome.
Good morning, Uncle Derek, and your viewers.
How are you doing today?
I'm good, and yourself?
No, we are okay. Thank you so much. Thank you for taking the time to share with us, to speak with us, and to just be part of these conversations. We appreciate your time. Thank you.
Hey, it's a bit stressful having my face here.
Don't you worry. So we are looking at the Sabbath issue, and we've got questions that we're trying to address. Yesterday you went through some of them that we possessed, and you managed to help us understand from Scripture. Let's address a bit more as we now draw to the close. Wasn't the seventh day Sabbath nailed to the cross? I mean, when you read Colossians, it says, and he took this and he nailed it to the cross. And he says, so therefore, let no one judge you about Sabbath days.
Well, people take that from Colossians chapter 2, verse 16.
Yeah.
And if you read in verse 17, what is nailed to the cross are things that are pointing forward to Christ.
Oh, okay.
And yet, yesterday we discussed that the Sabbath was pointing back to creation.
Mm.
So that's obviously the first sign where you should be like, okay, maybe this is not the one. Because the function is different. Mm-hmm. The sacrificial services, the sanctuary, they're all pointed forward to Jesus and his atonement. And things that still need to be fulfilled later on. And yet the Sabbath is pointing us back. And at the same time, God says we should keep the Sabbath to know that he's the one who sanctifies us. So it's also kind of pointing forward at the same time.
Okay.
But then the key comes in, if you read in context, from verse 14.
Mm-hmm.
There it says that the handwriting of ordinances which was against us, mm-hmm. that's what was nailed to the cross. And in that's where you find the sacrificial services and all. And you can cross-reference that with Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 26.
Mm-hmm.
In there, Moses explicitly tells the Levites that put my book of the law, the one that he wrote, not the Ten Commandments, the one that he wrote,
okay, in
the side of the ark, that it may be a witness against you. And that same wording is used by Paul in Colossians chapter 2, verse 14. So
okay, even
contextually, you can tell that it is not the Decalogue.
So which Sabbath then is this that is nailed to the cross? Because he literally says, let no one judge you regarding a Sabbath.
The ones that are found in Leviticus chapter 23. The feast days.
Ah.
There are many feast days which were also known as Sabbaths. Remember, even yesterday we discussed Romans chapter 14, verse 5 and 6.
Mm-hmm.
In there, speaking about eating and keeping a day holy and eating to the Lord.
Yeah.
Those are referring to the feast days, which are all contained in Moses' book of the law, which Moses said is a witness against you. And Colossians chapter 2, verse 14 says that witness was nailed to the cross.
Thank you so much. No, I think it's clear. It's clear. And that is not the same thing, like you're saying, as the Decalogue. Now, coming to modern day Christians, when you read, especially from the New Testament approach, it seems to suggest that Christians are to meet on the first day of the week, or we're meeting on the first day. Isn't this the new commandment that Christ is giving, that we must meet on the first day for worship?
Okay. In my Bible, I've only seen eight instances where the first day is being mentioned.
Uh-huh.
And of the eight, six were just describing that Christ resurrected on the first day of the week.
Okay.
So maybe this last two might hold something. The first one is in Acts chapter 20, verse 7. They says the disciples met to eat, to break bread. And then Paul started preaching. But in that verse, there is no explicit command to say, now that we have eaten, this is a new day of worship. Because when you go to the Matthew chapter 12, verse 1, the disciples on the Sabbath, they were plucking corn because they were hungry.
Okay.
So now that same logic could be used for the Sabbath. But ultimately, God is the one who sanctified the Sabbath. So then let's go to the next instance. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2. There Paul says, let everyone lay aside money on the side so that there'll be no collection when I come on the first day.
Yes.
So then Paul is collecting money. There is no mention of this is the new day, this is how things are being done now. No. Paul is collecting money. But interestingly, when you go search the Sabbath now in the New Testament, you have many occurrences. And one of them, I think Acts chapter 15, Acts chapter 16, Acts chapter 17. There you find instances of the apostles either praying, or they are preaching, or they are meeting to congregate, or they are teaching Gentiles and Jews in the synagogues on the Sabbath. So you realize those hold more credence than just eating.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, to say that the apostles only ate on Sunday and that makes it holy, I don't know. It boggles the mind.
Yeah, it's a bit of a leap. I hear you. I hear you. Quite an interesting approach you take then, and thank you so much for clarifying that. But maybe let's then look at this follow-up one, because fine, you can say that therefore because they just didn't meet to worship, or we don't get a reference to meet to worship on the Sunday, therefore we can't say it's holy. But surely, I mean, it's called the Lord's Day. Is that not Sunday? I mean, scripture we hear about the Lord's Day. Revelation even speaks about John saying, I saw the Lord. I mean, I was in spirit on the Lord's Day. Is this Sunday, the day that Christ resurrected, not the Lord's Day?
Well, again, in my Bible, the Lord's Day only occurs once, and that's Revelation chapter 1, verse 10. Excuse me, when John says that I was in the spirit on the Lord's Day. Besides that, there is no other reference to the Lord's Day in the New Testament. I mean, yesterday I even asked AI, and AI is like, scripturally, the Lord's Day is Sunday. But I'm like, with one verse, and that has no day or nothing. So even our AI at the time can be honest, but sometimes let's just apply our minds.
Yeah.
The Lord's Day, there's only one day where God associates it with himself.
Okay.
That is in Isaiah chapter 58, verse 13 and 14. Where he says that if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from polluting it, from doing your own pleasures on my holy day. According to my knowledge, that is the only day that God associates with himself and holds it deeply.
Yeah.
And I think to further add, when you read Isaiah 56, when he speaks about repairers of the breach, it says that even the Gentile who wants to keep God's Sabbath, he can join the fold. And that is the message of Paul in Romans chapter 2, that if the uncircumcised does the work or the workings of the circumcision, then his uncircumcision counts as circumcision.
Yes.
So it's more or less the same thing where God says that if you keep my holy day, not only does he add a blessing, but it's also a way of inviting the outsider into the fold. So again, in my King James Bible, I've only seen one occurrence of the Lord's Day.
Yeah.
And scripturally, I think there's more backing for the seventh day Sabbath.
And I like how you're saying there that that's, you can hear where he claims it as his day, right? The Sabbath day. And then you've already pointed Isaiah. I think it's Mark where Christ also says the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. So if you want to give him a day, why don't you give him the one he says he's Lord of, right? And I think Leviticus also, you gave us Leviticus 23 where Christ, where Jesus is saying it's the Sabbath of the Lord. You know, it's not the Sabbath of man. It's the Sabbath of, quite interesting. And thank you so much for that. Maybe then as we draw to the close, talk to us about this year. What are the reasons that are often given for not observing the Sabbath today that people then say, no, fine, I hear all this, but surely have you considered, which really one might say reasons, but mostly are perhaps excuses?
Well, as you're saying, I think they might be considered excuses because, again, we've searched the first day in the Bible, and only two occurrences happen after the resurrection of Christ. So now, really, there is no strong enough reason, if I can put it like that,
It's
found in Scripture. Some people use the whole thing of that, no, Christ resurrected on the first day, therefore it is the... But there is no backing from Scripture. People create their own traditions, and then people go along with it.
Yeah.
And interestingly enough, Christ said that the communion service, the wine and the bread, that is what he pointed to symbolize his
death and
his
resurrection.
Sacrifice.
Yeah.
And the resurrection, Romans chapter 6 even alludes to baptism being also another symbol that alludes to the resurrection. So now we have articles that Christ gave himself that do cover these points, and yet people come up with their own. I don't think there's any strong enough reason.
Yeah, certainly there is no strong enough reason that can be given for not keeping the Sabbath. Well, thank you so much. Any charge you'd want to leave with our listeners, someone who might be saying, okay, I hear you. You're making a strong point, Brother Lwazi, but hey, I don't know, man. I don't know. What would you want to say to someone who's teetering in the valley of decision now?
Well, I'd say that I wasn't always someone who advocates for the Seventh-day Sabbath. I did not even know it existed at the time. For most of my life, I was a first day keeper. And I remember around the time when I started having questions about this whole day and which day it is, the pastor at the church I was at, he said, yeah, and like I was having these questions in my mind, and he said, we keep the Sunday holy because that's when Christ resurrected. And I remember sitting there, I'm like, that's not enough. Truly, there is not enough reason for us to just change a day that God instituted without any backing. So I'll say that it is not easy. And especially being the only one at home, you find at times there's some conflict, you know. And maybe like, you know, family things are happening on Sabbath, and now I go to church and I'm the only one who's not there. Then I get called out the next family meeting that, yeah, where were you? And all that. So I'll say that it is not easy in my lived experience, but as the disciples say, we'd rather obey man, I mean God, rather than man. So I think that's where we're coming to, because James is very clear. If you offend one point of the law, you've broken all, in James chapter 2, verse 10. And in 4, verse 17, he also says that to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. So now, when you're in the valley of indecision, as we've shown, the verses, they're not enough to substantiate disobedience.
Yeah,
I mean, Adam was kicked out of the garden for one sin. Not many, not a couple, you know, maybe a white lie here and one. Simple act of disobedience. And God is clear. He says he's not a man that he should change. Hebrews says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So what I want to say is that the standard has not been dropped. So when you're in the valley of indecision, just pray to God again. There's that simple prayer that in the Gospels we find, Lord, help my unbelief. And it's just an act of faith. At the end of the day, it is not something that comes natural. I mean, even at my young age, you find friends are going out on partying Friday night. And we know very well it's sunset to sunset. But I think ultimately, as time progresses, you realize the blessings and the fruit of this decision. So I'd encourage one to pray about it, but ultimately remember that God does not change.
Amen, amen, and God does not change, and the call is then for us to obey that same God. I mean, it's Romans, Revelations, right, to say, hey, fear God, give him glory, the one who made everything. He is the one we must worship and give our allegiance to. Thank you so much, Brother Lwazi. May God bless you, and thank you for your time, your input, and for your counsel as we were looking at this profound lesson.
Thank you very much, Uncle Derek, and have a lovely day to the AWR listeners.
Thank you so much. Same to you, and a blessed Sabbath further.
Thank you.
Adventist World Radio, SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.